Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. I am absolutely pumped today to be spending a little bit of time, and I want to maximize that time. So I'm not going to fluff you up here. I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to get right into it. A guy that needs no introduction. We've got Michael J. Maher on with us today, and he is going to drop some insane value. I just absolutely know it. So buckle up and let's get into it, man. Michael, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with us.
You know, my pleasure. And I have to tell you, you said you're pumped for this interview. And it's like some people, they get on, they go, I am so excited for this interview. And when you said I'm pumped for this interview, like the pre-show that we talked about, and then also what we're doing now, it's just like, you are pumped. I mean, it's I bet you wake up pumped. You really are pumped about doing this, and your pump makes me pumped up about doing this. So thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Honor and privilege to be on. I'm a fan of your work and looking forward to what we share today.
I really appreciate that. I mean, I've been a fan of your work for quite some time. And one of the first questions I've always wanted to ask you is just why? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I don't know. No.
All right, next question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Marshawn Lynch, right? Next question. So I'll tell you what. Why do I do what I do? What do I do what I do now is interesting because I'm an introvert. We talked about being introverted a little bit. We're all ambiverts, right? We have introverted and we have extroverted senses. But I tend towards the introverted side. But the reason I do what I do is because I have a system that allows people to build businesses based on love, generosity, and appreciation, right? And what's amazing is they are able to build businesses. They feel good building the business. And when the business comes, it's good business. And then at the end of the day, they feel good about what they've accomplished, and it's fulfilling. Versus we've had some business owners who have come to us, have been in business for 20 years, and they have, you know, they have just gone. No, they really didn't even know why they were doing or what they were doing, but they've been cold calling. They've been door knocking. They've been, you know, advertising in newspapers. They've been doing all this stuff, and it never felt good. And they did it because that's what they've always been taught. Mm-hmm. And so the beauty is, you know, my mission and my message is bigger than my issues around being introverted, right? Mm-hmm. So why do I speak? I really struggle speaking about myself. I am really good at educating and teaching. And if I'm in a position where I can add value by helping people, I mean, it's just like we just had an event last week. There were tears shed. There was crazy laughter, you know, because they've never heard anything like this before, that they can do something that feels so good and the results are also really good. Many of them last week walked out of the event I was in with referrals. Like, they came to my event and we did real time, real world application. And by the end of the event, they had referrals to follow up with. And it's just like, you know, that's a, you know, real-time referrals. Where does that happen, right? That's right. Called putting your mouth where your wallet is, or putting your money where your mouth is.
Where your mouth is. There we go.
Exactly. So anyway, that's why I do what I do is because, you know, we're converting the masses, if you will, of salespeople to a better way, not just of doing business, but a better way of life, truly.
100%. 100%. Okay, so I know you said you don't really like talking about yourself sometimes.
No.
I'm going to unfortunately ask you a question about yourself, if you don't mind. If you'll,
all good. All good.
Fools the audience here a little bit, you know.
I'll turn it into a strategy, or I'll turn it into a lesson. Watch this.
There we go. That's perfect. Yeah, yeah. So I know you don't know that much about me, but, you know, growing up, I grew up, I didn't have a ton. I grew up in a garage in my parents' house. I slept on a couch most of my life. And so I can relate with you, you know, when I read things about you, about how you, you know, from living in a shack to a near experience. So tell me just a little bit about, like, what, give me a glimpse into the mindset. Because I know what I went through. I know how I got out of it. But what is some strategy? I'll lead into it for you. What is some strategy that that somebody out there that might feel like they're living in a shack, or might feel like they're having a near-death experience, or might feel like they're kind of riding that wave through hell right now, what are some things that you can give them some value on from a mindset standpoint to pull them out of that?
Yeah. So first and foremost, living in a shack or living in a mansion, I think you're right. You live in the 8 to 12 inches between your ears, right? And I think that's that, you know, I came from the poor of the poor, right? I mean, we looked up to the dirt poor and the piss poor people. We were so poor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was hoping for them to give me their clothes, right? So very, very, you know, but a loving. I don't want anybody to think that I had a bad childhood. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a bad childhood. I just had a really poor childhood in the sense of money. So I could have grown up poor. I could have been like a lot of people and just kept this poor mindset. But I have to tell you that it started with mindset. And I read a book by Og Mandino called The Greatest Salesman in the World. And it was a little short book. And I just found it. I literally just found it. And I still have that book. And it's almost in shambles. It's you know, 35, 40 years old. I read this book and it just talked about a different way of thinking. And that led me on this path of kind of thinking differently, that there's a different world than my shack, right? Or Gardner. I mean, Gardner, freaking Kansas, right? It's like, you know, there were less than 1,000 people there when I was born. But it was one of those where we could experience that there's a bigger world through books. And that's what I did is I just read. I wasn't a very good reader and I struggled to read early on. But now, you know, now I can read a book in a night, right? Just because I've read so much. Some people can, like, they're 4 years old, they can read really fast. I was the opposite. So, but after reading a lot, I read. And that's the thing, is some people on this may not be readers. And what I'd like to say is that I wrote 7L for you, right? I wrote 7L in a story, in a love story, in a very enjoyable, and in 12 and a half font, so bigger font, so it was even easier and more comfortable to read. I wrote the book to make it easy to read. And then, you know, the 100+ strategies in it were just a bonus. Mm-hmm. But I think the big thing is that happened. And then on the other side is that some things happened in my life, especially around sports, that showed me that I need to persevere through failure. Baseball and football were big sports for me. I like basketball, but football and baseball were kind of the big sports. And my junior year in high school, I happened to break 22 high school passing and total yards records as a quarterback at Gardner High School, which is not saying a whole lot, because I was really the first passing quarterback that I think they'd had for a long time. Right.
Right.
It was a great accomplishment. There was a lot of talk in the town about, you know, what was coming up with football, and our football coach ended up getting fired. We got a new football coach. And what's interesting, this is my senior year. My junior year, I'd broken all these records. I was the cock of the walk, baby, right? I mean, I had a strut bigger than any rooster you've ever seen in the yard, right? So I get to the first practice in football, and he comes in. He wants to run a wishbone, which is not a passing offense. Wishbone offense is all running. The quarterback is basically another running back. And so it's like, ooh. Okay, so I saw, like, uh-oh, they're running a wishbone. They're not running the red or the fire offense that we ran before. And so it ended up that I wasn't the starting quarterback at Gardner High School, right? It was somebody else. And it was a depressing day. And I was like, I went to my dad and I go, I'm done. I want to quit, you know. And he goes, okay, right. But let me ask you this. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? And I honestly thought about that quite a bit. And I was just like, wow, you know what? I want this really bad. I mean, I want this really bad. So Monday's practice came. We always ran a lap first. I came in first. We did drills, agility drill. I was smoking everybody, right? It wasn't because I was the fastest. It was because I was going at it 100%. And then for 2 weeks, I was the second string quarterback. And we, you know, at a smaller school, your second team is typically much weaker. But we had a really good first team defense, and my second team offense, we were taking it to one of the best defenses in the state, right? Why? Because I was like, you block him, you block, you know, I was just fired up, and I was being, I didn't know at the time, I was developing being a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just an athlete. And lo and behold, the week before the first game, I get announced as a starting quarterback, right? And fast forward, we have a game that is in the playoffs where we couldn't run the ball. So we had to go to our passing offense, which we had done the year before. We had never run it the whole year. And without any practice all year, we went right back into it. And I was actually calling each player what they were going to do on each route. And we ended up winning the game with 58 seconds left, you know, on a 45-yard touchdown pass. And it was, you know, it was great. It was celebratory. But the biggest thing I learned from that continues to this day and probably drives the people around me nuts, is we all have another gear, right? We all have another gear. And that gear is excellence. That gear is mastery. That gear is like, how bad do you freaking want it? How bad do you want it? If it's like real estate success. Anybody can be a success in real estate. And I don't care if you're a D, you're an I, you're an S, you're a C. I don't care if you're an SC or a DC or a DICK. You can be a success in real estate, right? I mean, so it's how bad do you want it? It's not about all these tests that people give you. Screw that. Burn it. And then just go, right? What's the secret to success? Action. That's it. One word.
I can 100% relate to that. I think I failed every test I've ever took. You just need the one.
I was supposed to be an engineer. What the heck? Could you imagine me? That'd be so sad. That was the most I've ever talked about myself.
Well, hey man, I appreciate it. And I know everybody listening appreciates it because you dropped a ton of truth, and I definitely got some golden nuggets.
I think most people could just hang up right now. Because they needed to hear how bad they want it. How bad? I mean, it's like, yeah, you know what? You don't have to do it. You got it. How many people get into real estate by default?
Right.
By divorce or by losing a job or by, you know what? The kids are going back to school. I think I'll start doing a little bit of real estate on the side. Right. But the thing is if you do something half butt, if you jump in a little bit, this business will eat you up, crunch you up and spit you out. Right. And you know what? You'll be another statistic. You'll be another 85 to 95% that get out of this business in 3 years.
100%.
So it's like, you know, even if you're going to do it, one of the top agents in Kansas City, right? She started it and she started it part time. Her husband was building. And so she started but she didn't get into it and just do it part time. She jumped in and said, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm just going to kick butt. Well, now she's doing $400 million a year in production in Kansas City, right? And it's like, and has a great lifestyle and has a great life and is, you know, very famous and very well known. So it's one of those where it's just, I think that, you know, how bad do you want it? If you don't want it very bad, this business is tough.
But it absolutely is. You need fire. And you need a plan. So something that I heard you mention, you know, was mastery and learning and education, you know, taking somebody, it doesn't matter what situation, doesn't matter if you had a job, doesn't matter if you were getting in because you had a divorce or you're wanting something extra to do. If you walk into a brokerage's office and they say, here's the keys, we'll see at the closing table, you need to turn around and go to a different brokerage or jump on the internet and look up Michael here or figure something out that can help you get a plan.
Yeah.
We're talking about mastery and we're talking about planning. We're talking about education. I'm of a very firm belief in education and self-education and training yourself and developing and refining those skills, mastery, like you were commenting. What are some strategies? What are some quick wins? If somebody was listening to this and they're like, I want to roll with these guys. These guys have the mindset and it sounds like they have the plan. What is like something somebody could do? It's a part of your plan to go out and get some quick wins right now.
So first of all, mastery, you continue to say mastery. The license plate on my Mercedes GL 450 is mastery, right? So everywhere I go, mastery is with me and mastery is my word for life. So I believe in mastery, and where I really enjoy mastery, there's two types of mastery. One is talent mastery. There's a guy named Josh Weitzel, right? Or Bobby Fischer, right? Bobby Fischer played chess at 7 years old. He was a grandmaster, right? How much did he have to work to be a grandmaster? Well, the truth is not much. I mean, there's a lot of natural talent. Josh Weitzel is also a grandmaster in chess and was like 6 years old, 7 years old, and beating adults in chess, right? But there's that type of mastery, which is kind of inborn and really just kind of natural. And then there's that mastery that I really love, which is that somebody who has worked their butt off for 20 years, right? And then you're exposed to it and you watch them deal. You watch them work. You watch them play. And you're just like, you're just mesmerized, right? And it's like they, you know, what's funny is they work 20 years to become an overnight success, right? But it's one of those where that is the first thing, is that anybody can be a master. And I think the big thing is a lot of people ask, why me? Well, I think the question they need to be asking is, why not me? Mm-hmm. Like, why not me? Why not me? And the truth is that it should be you, something. Like you, right? You have mastered Facebook advertising. Right. And it's like that. I mean, so we can all find our niche of what we want to master and take to the next level. And if we spend enough time on it, 10,000 hours, according to Malcolm Gladwell, that we can master it and make a living with it. Right. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it, too, is that you have to find something that you enjoy to the tune of 10,000 hours. Right. What are you going to enjoy through the drudgery? What are you going to, you know, you have a hat says hustle, right? It's like hustle. Well, what do you do on those times when the hustle doesn't seem to be producing? Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's easy to hustle when you're safe at second. Right. It's harder to hustle when it's the fifth game of the tournament and, you know, you pop up to the pitcher. Right. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are going to be mastered, want to hustle. And even when it's the last game of the tournament and there's just a little pop up. So that's number one. And then I think affirmations really pop to mind here. I know it's a soft skill, but it's what made me as successful as I am, something as small as like, do it now, right? I have my Do It Now band on. For those of you that have read 7L, you know that there's a secret message inside of this band. And it's do it now. And most people are procrastinators. We can overcome procrastination with simply three words, do it now. And what we've done is we do, when I speak, I always have them do seven do it nows at the beginning of presentation. Do it now, 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 right now, do it, right? And what's funny is most people are going to dismiss that as, well, it's just three words, right? And it's just, I mean, I don't know about these affirmations things, but trust me, people's lives have been changed and their vibrancy, right? Their daily vibration, you vibrate at a quicker frequency, you will get more done. Plus you will attract people who vibrate at at a higher frequency. And so it's one of those where I think that's the big thing is affirmations. I do five affirmations every single morning, and I start them with I am. Interesting one in 2010 was January 1st of 2010. I wrote an affirmation that says, I am a best-selling author. Well, what's interesting is my book wasn't out. My book wasn't even finished. It wasn't even close to being finished. But I said, I am a best-selling author. So – couple internet. One, my book comes out October of 2007 or 2010. But what's interesting is in what happened in April, May, June, July. So I was at these events, and in the interactions, people were introducing me as, yeah, he's the top producer and he's also a best-selling author. Well, I didn't told anybody I was a best-selling author, right? I mean, people knew the book was coming and I wasn't a best-selling author. But people are introducing me as a best-selling author. And they were, it was one of those where it's just like, it was coming true before it even came true. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of affirmations. The other thing that I do is I do 5 appreciations in the morning. And these are very simple as well. And it just says, I appreciate whatever it may be, right? So I appreciate coffee, definitely. Mm-hmm. I appreciate my wife, Sherry. I appreciate my son, Max. But even to a higher level, it's like, I appreciate Sherry's smile. I appreciate Max's laughter. And he's got a little giggle. He's 9 years old and he still has a giggle. And I want that to last as long as I know it's going to leave at 12, but you know, so it's, I appreciate, well, that's another little thing that we're like, well, we can just so easily dismiss that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do 5 affirmations and 5 appreciate, but what you appreciate appreciates. What do you want more of in your life? Appreciate what you have. Right. And we need to do that. We need to, we need to really take this insatiable appetite for what we don't have and replace it with an insatiable appreciation for what we do have. And that's the thing I have. I have an insatiable appreciation. I have an appreciation that will never be satisfied. There's more and more things to appreciate. And what happens in my life is all these great things have come to my life, makes me want to appreciate even more stuff, right? So what you appreciate appreciates. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you want something more of, appreciates means goes up in value or you get more of or right. increases, you know, what you appreciate appreciates. So I appreciate. The other thing too is appreciation is a tool of influence, right? So Grant, have you ever done something for another person where you really went above and beyond, or you went out of your way, or you kind of put yourself out for this other person? Have you ever done that? Of course you've done that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But have you ever done that in a case where the other person didn't even notice or acknowledge or appreciate what you've done? Have you ever done that?
100%.
Yeah. How likely are you to do something else for that person? Are you less or more likely?
Less.
You're a lot less likely, right? So let's flip it over. Have you ever done something that was just like who you are, right? Very natural for you, or you just thought it was like kind of part of your job, but the other person was so genuinely and sincerely appreciative of what you've done. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
100%. Yeah. Are you less or more likely to do something else for that person?
More likely.
You're much more likely. In fact, what we've discovered is we will run through a brick wall for an appreciative person, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, what's the lesson there, right? Be appreciative. But it's even more than that. It's we need to express our appreciation. We need to make appreciation part of our bloodline, right? I mean, it literally needs to be a part of our soul and our being every single day and what we do.
I couldn't agree more, 100%. And, you know, on a lot of the stuff that you're saying, sorry, I'm reaching into my bag to grab.
Yeah, it's all good.
Grab something here is, you know,
it's like a magic trick. What are you pulling out of there?
Yeah. You know, exactly what you said. I listen to affirmations every single morning. I wake up, I go to the gym, I wake up at 4:30. I'm there by 5. And while I'm working out for an hour and a half, I got my book out too. While I'm working out for an hour and a half, I've got those affirmations that are playing in my head. So sometimes I don't even hear what's
that's right.
And
that's right. You're thinking about other stuff.
That subconscious programming that takes
that's
place.
Right.
You know, Tony Robbins says that often. The mind's a computer, and when you tell your subconscious what to do, it basically just goes to work to do the action. Sure. And when you're talking about appreciation, I often talk about gratitude. That's what I got on my wrist here. Grateful, be grateful, be grateful. And I always tell people, if you're not grateful for what you have, what in the hell makes you think that you deserve any more of it?
That's right.
And that's with money, and that's with automobiles and houses and relationships and. It goes. So after my affirmations every morning, I have, if you can hear that, guys, it's my journal. Yeah. I sit there and I just make a list, and it just goes every single thing that I can pop through my mind.
I love it. Like a brain dump.
Yeah, that's
what we call a brain dump.
Every single morning, it could be something as simple as coffee, or I like honey in my coffee. I'm grateful for bees. And just every single thing that I can think of. And when I started implementing affirmations and when I started implementing gratitude, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And it was, and what I tell people, like when I talk about gratitude, it was same day. I woke up one morning, a mentor told me, you've got to start doing this. Filled it out that morning. literally money was on my list. You know, it was, I had like my first $10,000 day and this was on my list. And it was just amazing when you sit back with so much intention and are grateful and appreciative for what you have, how much more of it starts to flood into your life. So it did great lessons, great strategy as well for yeah. what somebody that's just listening to this can do. I wrote a Facebook post this morning and I think this plays in because I think a lot of people need to hear this. You know, there was this man who's walking on the beach to think about some things. And he noticed this gentleman sitting on a beach in a chair, relaxed, you know, reading a book, having a little cocktail. And he walked up to him and he said, what do you do to be able to just sit out here in the middle of the day? You know, I'm struggling with my life and I'm out here thinking. And he's like, well, I'm an entrepreneur. And he said, an entrepreneur, what's that? He said, well, an entrepreneur is somebody that has real freedom, that lives life on their terms, that sees problems, develops solutions, somebody that changes the world and builds businesses. And he's like, wow, I want to be an entrepreneur. How do I do that? And the gentleman turned around and he said, it's very simple. First, you go build yourself and then you go build a business. And I just think that's so incredibly powerful. And some that people, real estate agents, you guys listen to this, you should understand that like sometimes business isn't about business at all. It's about you. Sure. Yep. And so that's just some powerful stuff, man. I'm glad we're getting into this deep conversation here because I think people need to hear this stuff for sure.
Well, this will drop on you. I truly believe the purpose of a business is to be referable. Mm. I believe that. I mean, here's the thing: if you tell me about your quality service, right? If you tell me about how great your service is or how great your product is, and I'm going to say, how many referrals do you get? Hmm. Right. If you're not getting referrals, then can you really say it's quality service? Because if it was quality service, it was a while, people would be talking about it. Right. Absolutely. If it was a great price, a great value, people would be talking about it. Are you just marketable or are you remarkable? Hmm. Right. And it's about being remarkable and it's being the purpose of a business is to be referable. Hmm. Well, that starts with the person. Right? The leader, the CEO, is that person referable? A lot of times the CEO is referable, but can you build a business that is referable? If your entire goal is to solve a problem, you're going to do well. But if your business is to solve a problem and be referable so that everybody is talking about it, your clients are all bragging about it, then you're going to set yourself to a higher standard. And you're never going to have to worry about food or money or anything else again because you've got all these salespeople. Why would you hire a sales staff when you have all these people who would be free salespeople for you? And quite honestly, that's what you should generate. You should generate unpaid salespeople, not paid salespeople, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those where the primary purpose of a business, in my humble opinion, is to be referable. And as a person, our primary purpose as a person is to be referable, is to have other people so willing to share about us and to introduce, connect, and refer us to others.
Absolutely.
It's not to be liked, as you know, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Grant, let me ask you, like, and unfortunately, I think I kind of gave the answer, but it's like, I'm going to give you four options. You can only pick one, right? And so would you rather be one, be liked? Would you rather two, be respected? Would you rather three, be trusted? Or number four, would you rather be referred? So if you can only pick one of the four, which would you pick?
I'd obviously like to be referred.
Why is that?
Because if I'm referable, I'm already the other three.
That's exactly right. It does imply it. But what else is great about being referred instead of just simply being liked, being respected, or being trusted?
I don't know. What do you say?
Yeah. So two things. One is it pays better.
And that's very true.
Right. And the last one is being referred means influence. Somebody actually took action on your behalf. You can be liked all day long and not have somebody take action on your, that's influence, right? Influence is somebody takes action on your behalf, right? Either to buy your product or buy somebody else's product or use a service or connect somebody, right? So, but respected, same way. You have people you respect, but you'd never refer. Trust, right? Mm-hmm. We trust like my mom or something like that. But we trust people, but we don't refer them, right? So saying is seek not to be liked, which is such a thing in real estate. Oh my God. You know, seek not to be respected. That's another thing, which especially the DCs and some of the Ds, which is like, you know, they want to become the experts of the experts. And it's just like, okay, you know, seek not to be trusted. That's the S, right? The S is want to be, you know, the trusted and so on and so forth, but it doesn't pay the bills, right? They're very, very, very trusted, but they're also really good unpaid taxi drivers and unpaid tourist guides of the city, right? Because they show drivers all day long. But seek to be referred, right? Seek to be referred and figure out where you're at on that liked, respected, trusted, and work on the respected, work on the liked if you are heavy on the trust, right? And if you're light on the trust, then man, we've got some work to do. We just need to build that trust up.
Awesome. That's great. Actionable advice. 100%. I know we're nearing the end of our time here, but I got one last question. I think,
That flew by.
Yeah, it would. Right. I mean, we might just have to keep stretching this thing out if it keeps going faster. how do you feel? Obviously, you know, I'm a social media guy. Yeah. I've got heavy emphasis in my business around different types of advertising, Facebook predominantly. How do you feel or how do you believe that social media has impacted an agent's ability to go out and build more like trust, credibility, go out and get more referrals? How do you believe that social media has had a direct impact in the way that you guys believe in doing business?
Well, it's the megaphone, right? It's the megaphone. It's you know what's beautiful about social media is there are people who we thought were pretty good people, and we found out through social media that they're not good people, right? Mm-hmm. And then the flip side is we thought people we really didn't know that well, but they friended or they were friend of a friend, and we've discovered over time that this person we really didn't know is a really good person, mm-hmm. right? So one of the beautiful things about social media is the bad people are being exposed, but also the good people are being exposed so that we can find like-minded people to network with and mastermind with and grow, right? The other thing too is that, you know, there's a great book called Megatrends. And in Megatrends, it says for every technological advance, we will have a human advance or a spiritual advance, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen is in 2006, I discovered and kind of coined a strand of consumer that was growing very quickly called the generosity generation, right? We went from the ego era to mm-hmm. the generosity generation. And the I'm number one, and if you'll notice on advertising, things like that, nobody's saying I'm number one anymore. You know right. why? Because it doesn't work. Nobody wants to work with number one. And there's so many number ones that it lost its effect. The new mantra is I am here to help, right? I'm number one has been replaced with I am here to help. And if you look at Discover ads and all these ads, you know, they're beer ads that never even had beer in them. There's car ads where there's not even a car, and it talks about the cause or the generosity right. that company has done. So what's amazing about that is we've had this technological advancement of social media at the same time as this human advancement of the generosity generation, and people are being more generous and being more loving and being more appreciative. And they care more about their companies being like that. And it's one of those where social media is there to supplement, not supplant, relationships, right? So it's how do we tell a lot of people that we're a good person, right? Social media is that way. It's a social media, mm-hmm. right? If you want to tell a lot of people something, how would you say it? Right? How would you say it? Back in the day, you'd say it with an ad. Right. In today's world, you're going to say it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest or Snapchat
or whatever your customer or, yeah, choice yeah. of communication.
You're not going to say it right. on Empire Builder or what was that? Remember that social media that was so hot for like a couple of months? It was anyway. It was something Empire or Empire Builder. I can't remember.
But I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's just more and more and more golden nuggets there. So I appreciate it, man. Yeah. I know we're running out of time, and I appreciate you stopping by and talking to us a little bit. If somebody, I know this wouldn't be very hard, but if somebody wanted to learn more about how you could help them and how you could assist in growing their businesses or growing them as people, what is the best way for them to go about doing that?
You know what? I'm gonna go right to something I don't normally do, but I think it's really, I don't know, I'm compelled to share this. Normally I'd say an email or a website or whatever. I think callwithcoach.com. Just do a call with one of our coaches. And by the way, these coaches are certified referral trainers. They are certified referral coaches, or they are strategic coaches who are real estate agents, mortgage top real estate agents, top mortgage professionals, or top coaches, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't have the $15 an hour, you know, somebody reading right. from a manual, right? So I would set up a call with coach.com, and it will be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks out, because those fill quickly. Mm-hmm. But the thing we're going to do is it's a strategic session. So it's like, we're just going to, it's not a sales call. It is, all right, what's your biggest challenge right now? And we're going to help them conquer one challenge. No, it's not like all the challenges that you have, just like, let's conquer one challenge about repeat and referral business or any part of the business. And you can sign up, callwithcoach.com. That's what I would do.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, hey, again, I appreciate you so much. Everybody, like you've sat here and you've listened to this podcast and you've heard Michael speak. There's absolutely, like, it just justifies why he's endorsed by Dave Ramsey and Ziegler and Gary Keller and Todd Duncan, and why he's appeared with Tony Robbins and Barbara Cochran and Damon John. There's no mystery when you sit back and you listen to a show like this and you just hear how valuable this guy is and how much impact he's creating in this industry. And so it's my hope that you will go to callwithcoach.com and sign up to speak with one of their people. You've heard it here, just how valuable that might be for your business. And so it's my hope that you'll do that. Michael, man, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for sharing all the value you did today, and I look forward to talking with you more in the future.
Thank you. And Grant, I have to say this from the industry, and I know that I speak for a lot in the industry, is that, hey, you're much appreciated, brother. What you're doing is great work, and you continue doing what you're doing. And from the entire industry, listen, thank you. Seriously. Thank you for the time today, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. We'll see you guys later. Thanks.